Isaiah 36, 1 to 7. This is, you see, the thing is that adversity comes in different shapes and sizes. And sometimes what I say is that sometimes what you think is not an adversity to you, it's something that somebody is dealing with and it's crushing them. Praise the Lord. And you can look at it and say, well, it's not a big deal. And sometimes when you go over this adversity, your mind and your thinking is giving you all kinds of solutions. And the people around you are also giving you all kinds of solutions. Praise the Lord. But it's important that we, in prayer and trusting, that we understand that the key solution in all of this is to go to God. That no matter what it is, no matter what shape it is, no matter where it's coming from, that going to God in prayer and trusting Him as we go to Him in prayer, it's the key solution for all of this. And there is a way we can do it and have peace, and there is a way we can do it and still be so agitated that we're still victims of the circumstance, we're still victim of our society, we're still victim of all those other things that are talking in our head. Praise God. So this was a king, Isaiah chapter 36 from 1 to 7. Guys, King Hezekiah, and we'll read it along. And you see the adversity that he's facing here and what's happening. It says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So here is a king, attacked the cities and did what? And he captured them. So there was a king here, but this place has been captured. Verse 2. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field, verse 3, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to meet him. Verse 4, the field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours?" I want you to look at that. So now, he has captured everywhere around, and then he has put a siege in this town. So now, and you understand that there's nothing so important in a kingdom like having water. So not only has he put a siege, now he has taken the head of the aqueduct where all the water that comes into this place. So now, by default, these people don't have water, so he's controlling, he can turn it off. So he comes, he calls his commanders and everything and says, go and ask your king, where is he basing his trust that he has not letting us just take him over? Because sometimes in your heart, you're going through these things and you want to trust, and the things are speaking in your head, or even situations are telling you, what are you basing the trust on that we're not going to run you over? Praise the Lord. You can be trusting God. And he's coming, he's asking, he said, what are you basing this trust on? What makes you think we are not going to do what? We're not going to run you over. Verse 5. You say you have a strategy, a military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? He says, now you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff, which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. Verse 7. And if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar? Praise the Lord. So even if it is God that you are depending on, look at you, full of sin. Look at you. Is it not God that says, don't do this, and you did it? Praise the Lord. Look at the discouragement. So fine, okay, even if you're believing in God, is it not God that you did this? You did this against him? You did this against him? He begins to accuse you and tell you why you should not even pray, and why you should not believe and trust in your prayer. So here they came, they have attacked this guy and began to speak this word. So the next thing he does now, he begins to inject fear. Isaiah 36, 12 to 15. Isaiah 36.
But the commander replied, "Was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things?" So now, not only to the leader, he says, "And not to the men sitting on the wall, who like you will have to eat their own field and do what? And drink their own." So now he begins to inject fear, not only to the leader, but to all that were listening to him. Verse 13. Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew. So now he says, well, if the language we have been speaking, that you don't understand it, let me say what you understand better. Let me say what you do, what you can hear. He said, then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, "Hear the word of great king, the king of Assyria." Verse 14. "This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you." Verse 15. "Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord. Don't let your pastor tell you that the Lord will help you. Don't let that sister say, count on the Lord. How can you count on the Lord? Look at what is going on now. Don't mind him. Is it because he talks that talk and he goes home and sleeps in his own house? Does he know what you're going through? Ignore that thing that they're saying." Praise the Lord. "Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." He said, don't believe that. Don't trust any encouragement. Even the things that we're going to start sharing today. He says, come on, ignore all those things. Yeah, it's just talk. They are talking. Look at what you're dealing with. Look at what you're dealing with. Praise the Lord. But in all of that, we need to trust in God. We need to understand and know when the enemy is speaking. We need to understand when guilt is speaking. And we'll go through the word. I'll share this testimony from this woman. And you see how powerful it is that all these things, they do speak. Sometimes even people that you trust the most can come and speak those things. Sometimes unanimous people will come and speak. Sometimes even somebody you trust will be speaking, but what they are speaking are words of guilt to your life. What they are speaking is really word of discouragement. But they'll be speaking it as if, well, my brother, well, my sister, you know, you have tried everything, you know. Well, what are you going to do? Just accept it that way. Praise the Lord. But God never said we accept it that way. He says, if any man is in need, if any man is sick, if any man is oppressed, let him come and what? Let him pray. He said, I want to help. I want to help. Isaiah 37, 1 to 4. So when Hezekiah heard this, what did he do? He tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went what? And went into the temple of the Lord. All those discouraging words, all those things telling him that you think you're depending on this. He said, even when they told him all of that, he did what? He ignored all of it because he knows that the Lord is what? My helper. He said he went to the house of the Lord. So I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what the problem is. If anything is saying to you that it is, no, just give up, you must ignore it and come before the Lord. We must ignore it. He said, I went to the temple of the Lord, verse 2. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. Verse 3. They told him, this is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and what? And rebuke and disgrace. As when children come to the point of birth and there is what? There is no strength to deliver them. So that's what it is, like it's a day of disgrace. It's because they get to the day where the God that's supposed to help you, when you get to the day when you throw your hand in the air, says that it's not going to work anyway. It's like a day. So what you are doing is that I'm accepting that lot. If it's disgrace, let me just eat the disgrace. If it's oppression, if it is poverty, let me take it. If it is sickness, well, let me just go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the field commander, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule who? The living God. It's always important that we know that when everything is happening to us that's contrary to what God has said, it is not us, it is God that they are ridiculing. Always put God in that place, because it is contrary to the God. You know, God says that even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll be there. God says, as a matter of fact, he says, even if you have done the worst of worst, he says, if you come to me, I'll clean you up. That's what the Bible says. It says, even if you are the worst sin. Paul, the apostle Paul, began to speak to Timothy. He says that God showed his grace in that him, Paul, who's what? The worst of all sinners. So God is in the business of, that is, even if it is things that were mistakes that were done, or things that were done by our own understanding, and now it has brought oppression, and we come to our senses too. We can't go back to God. God is not going to hold, because God wants to clean. He's not going to hold you back to that one. What he's going to do as a father is that, because that is evil, all he wants to do is do what? Is to clean it out. Because all he wants to do is to nurse you back to health. All a parent wants to do at all times is to do what? Is to nurse back to health. No matter what it is. So he said, pray. I'm sure that God has heard this insult. Because Judah were the people of God. God said the scepter will never do what? We will never depart from Judah. That's what God has spoken. And here it is. They're taking them over. Here it is. Oppression is coming on them. But God has spoken that the scepter will not leave. And God will not change his mind. No matter. And it was clear that what brought that to them is that they walked away from God. It was clear that they were doing evil. It was clear. So it wasn't that. So somebody can say, well, you brought it upon yourself. Even with God, when you bring it, even you brought it upon yourself. When you come back. Because God does not want that oppression and that evil to be upon you, because he's a child that he loves. When you come and ask, God will come and clean it. He will help you. He will help you out. He said, maybe you will leave the whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, do what? Pray. So I'll share this testimony. I got it from a friend, like I said earlier. Listen as I read this testimony from this person. I opened this anonymous letter and my heart sank. It was from another mom who wanted to make sure I had a list of all the ways one of my daughters was falling short. There in black and white, she listed my daughter's mistakes, her shortcomings, her frailties, and then just to make sure I took her nameless letter seriously, she informed me she'd be sending a copy to my pastor. Now, look at this. You think this is easy. Do you know a person who's going through, do you know if somebody's child is really troubled? The parents know it already. And it's not giving them rest. Do you know that if you have any issues, any problems that you're dealing with, do you know that God knows it already? And do you know that you too know it already? So the accuser, devil, coming now, accusing you. A faceless accuser. Speaking things into you, saying how bad, saying how horrible. Your father did. Your father knows that already. You know that. He knows that already. And you too know what you're struggling with already. So the accusation can never solve your problem. All the accusation will make you feel more depressed, go lower and go lower. Praise the Lord. So look at what. So now this person has written this faceless letter with no signature. Do you think this letter is to help this family? Praise the Lord. Do you think when we are going through issue, that accusatory voice, do you think he has come to help us? Has he come to help us? Okay. Continue. Listen to this. My initial reaction was to figure out who sent this so I could call her, talk this through face to face,
assure her my husband and I were not only aware of some struggles my daughter was having, but also working diligently to help her course correct. But as I reread the letter, I discerned it wasn't sent from a place of love. There is an accusation in your life that the evil one should be doing, and you should understand that it did not come from God. Because if God is love, if this person was love, the best he could have done is either join this family to help, instead of outlining how bad all their child was, and send it to them and not say what who she is, and then even threaten again, I'm going to expose it some more. Praise the Lord. I'm doing an analogy with this testimony. This testimony blessed me. I'm doing it so somebody does. So we don't just think about it as somebody who has a bad child. No, no. As you're listening to this, think about your own self and the accusations that come to you daily, that comes to us daily. And also think about your family. Also think about other issues, your relations, things that are happening. Think about it as you look to this. He says that these accusations did not come from a place of love. It wasn't sent from a place of love for my family or a heart that wanted to help. From the language she used and the fact that there wasn't a way to contact her, it was obvious she didn't send it because she wanted the best for my daughter. With the language that was used, listen, when the Bible calls the devil the accuser of what? The brethren. By the language that he uses to, by the language and all the things, even when you are, by the language he used, you can understand that he doesn't want to help you. So I sat on the edge of my bed and I cried. It's so hard to have someone attack you in an area that's already robbed sore. Isn't that what the devil does? He attacks you in an area that's already raw. An area you know this is. Do you know, that's what I tell you. Do you know when people, from where I grew up, a young boy, there's a word, when somebody's chasing you, you rush to somebody who can help you. And immediately you come to that place that somebody can help you. What that person does is he protects you from that person. Do you think that somebody, even no matter how bad they are, that if they come to church, they are not running, what have they done? They have run to somebody who can help them. Which means what they are saying is that whatever I was doing, that place, that situation that I was, I don't like it. But I don't have the strength to do it. So that's why I came to somebody who... But instead, when they arrive now in church, where they have come to look for help, that's where we begin to easily rob the raw area. Praise the Lord. So it is hard to have someone attack you in an area that's already robbed raw with hardship. Her letter was like a bullet straight to my heart. However, it was also a wake-up call to get more intentional in praying for my daughter. However, it was also a what? A wake-up call for me to be what? Intentional. We're going to pray. See, listen, that's what... Sometimes prayer has just been made a religious thing. That we don't understand how important, and we don't. He said that a focused and a fervent prayer of the righteous does what? So we pray lukewarm. We are not intentional. An issue does not. We said this is the devil that has done this. Now this is the enemy that's causing this, and stand intentionally. Instead, we'll just be listening. He would have been chasing instead to do investigation and find out who did that letter so he can fight him. So sometimes, instead of us to pray and ask God to help us, we're intentional to find out the devil. We go pray, let the supposed work and tell us, is this devil that did that? Is this devil that... So if you find out all the devil that did it, then what happens? It is your mother-in-law that did it. It is your sister. Now, if you find out all the people that did it, then what happens? He said, instead of being running to find out, I already knew that this did not come from a place of what? I know that. Smart. So because it did not come from a place of love, I have to run to love and speak to love to help me. It was an intentional wake-up call for me to pray for my daughter. I thought about her struggles a lot. I thought about her struggles. I thought about it.
I talked about it. I worried about it. But thinking about, talking about, worrying about something is not the same as praying about it. So I cry every day. I don't know why I cry. It's not the same thing as saying, Lord, you know, the Apostle Paul told us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says that there was a thorn that was on his flesh. He said many times he went and what? To the Lord and said, take this away. You see, it's in place in prayer that God gives you an answer what to do. He was not just crying and seeing everybody and saying, I'm dealing with this. Yeah. Now, if you see somebody and say, I'm dealing with this, let it be somebody that will hold you and say, let us what? Pray. Let it not be somebody that will begin to say, you're dealing with this? Hey, I know about somebody who dealt with this sickness. He killed him. I knew somebody who had this kind of issue. Man. If you see him now, he's a shadow of himself. That's not what you're looking for. But thinking about it, talking about it, and worrying about it, sometimes something is not the same as praying about it. I determined to turn this letter that felt like a bullet into a blessing. Everybody say, I determined. Do you know Apostle Paul used that same word in the book of Philippians? He said, my determined purpose is that I might do what? I might know Christ. They say determination when something has come and it is evil for you to determine and say, this is not going to happen here anymore. If you have a child, you have a wife, you have a husband, you have an issue that keeps coming in your life that's evil, and you don't want it, there's a determination to stand and draw a line and say, this thing is not going to what? I don't want it here anymore. Crying about it is not going to happen. I don't want it anywhere. If it is prayer, if you say, well, I can't stand, I need somebody to stand with me, you call and say, this is an issue. I want us to pray about it. And you continue. Do you know that it is being intentional? It is standing and drawing the line. I'm telling you, anything that you, if the Bible said, whatsoever you disallow here on earth, what will happen to it? It'll be disallowed in heaven. Matthew. He says, that's what will happen. He says, I became determined that this, I mean, we have been worried about this thing happening with this child. We have been thinking about it. They say we never intentionally were standing in prayer, saying that this is our will for this child. This way is going to destroy her. So I determined to turn this letter that felt like a bullet into a blessing by using it as a catalyst to ramp up my prayer life. Through my tears, I cried out to the Lord. I will not sacrifice your grace for my child on the altar of people's opinion. He began to understand that the grace of God is what? Available. So people's opinion, the opinion of the devil, is not going to trump over the grace of God in my life. That's what he's saying there. Evil report. That has not come from a place of love. That is not coming from a place of help. Because the Bible teaches in the book of John, it says Jesus Christ brought us grace and what? And the truth. What he brought us was grace. This is not grace. This accusation is not grace. This I'm going to expose you is not grace. He says, so I'm not going to let the grace of God be what? In vain and then be listening to that. I will stand for the grace and have the grace of God triumph over them. That's prayer. That's how we should be thinking in our own life with any issue. Not to begin to hold anybody responsible. No, that's how. And then we'll go to prayer. We say, their eyes are going to behold the grace of God. What? On this issue. On this issue.
Of course, I want my daughter to walk the straight and narrow path of great choices. But I trust you, Lord, to write her testimony. My main goal for her is not behavior modification. My main goal for her is not what? Behavior modification. I don't just want to do something so people will think that I'm okay now. No, I want to go in prayer because I know that you are the one that changes from inside. I don't want to change our behavior so people won't see what is happening. No.
Because that will still destroy her. Because that will still destroy me. I don't want to now start coming to her just acting. No. Lord, I want this thing to be taken away. I want this thing solved.
But my main goal for her is not behavior modification, but total heart transformation. I want her to want you, Lord, and your best for her life. Give me the courage to not just pray about my daughter, but to pray her all the way through this. So, Lord, let it not be a one-time prayer. Let it be considered. Let it be my heart desire. Let me pour my heart. Let my heart constantly want to see her know you. Let me want to see a change from inside. Where? Because, listen, it is only the power of God that can change anybody. Watch your own life. I look at my own life. A man, a person that God has touched, it's incredible what happens with that person's life. My beloved sister here, they tried dragging me to church. My wife, they tried dragging me to church. They told me all kinds of things. But I will go to church in the morning, in the evening, I'm in one bar, I'm in one place, I'm doing whatever thing I feel like doing. But the day the Lord touched my heart, it was not character modification. Say, I want his heart transformation. I want, Lord, touch her heart. It's not a one-time prayer. Lord, I want to stand first, fervently, continue to pray. So, Lord God, my eyes will see it. Do you know sometimes that kind of prayer can be, you can have faith and go to a God and pray this kind of prayer. And every day now is Thanksgiving. Now, when you begin to thank, what you're saying is that thing has happened. So even if that child is acting anyway, you don't start trying to modify it. You love, you're just blessing God. Then you say, no, though. You're calling the things that you believe. So when you're talking to that child now, when you're dealing with yourself now, the way you think about yourself change, because now you're not going to live anymore by seeing. You're going to start doing what? Living by believing. There's a time you pray and you get this assurance in your heart. No matter what you're seeing, you're telling people what is going to happen. So the prayer can switch to Thanksgiving. So you don't forget it, but every morning you're just thanking God. You see, there are things that people have not seen here that I've seen. There's some person I've shared it with. The days won't happen. Everybody will be dancing. But I've seen it. So my prayer about it now every day is every day I'm waking up, I'm thanking God. I say, wow, I can't believe you chose to do something like this. I've seen it. Praise the Lord. So every day I'm blessing the name of the Lord. Every day I'm full of joy. All I just want to, I want the day the eyes is going to see it. And I'm saying, man, this God is too much. So you can stick in prayer. It can be Thanksgiving if you are settled in your heart. But if you're not settled, you can continue to stay there. But let it be a prayer that is focused and intentional, and you stand in it to see what is it that you want to achieve, what God for God to do. So praying her through the ups and downs wasn't easy. There were days I wondered if God was even what? Hearing my prayers. That's why I said these testimonies are great. And you see that this thing went for like 2 years. See, there were days I wondered, is God hearing my prayers? It's tough to pray someone all the way through a messy, hard, complicated situation and not see answers. Maybe you have been there, or maybe you are going through that. But let me share some things that helped me as I was going through that. The first thing is that I always had the confidence and knew that God is hearing my prayer. Like Sennacherib, when they came and they were talking to Hezekiah, no matter when he says, is it Egypt you're depending on? He says, no. No matter what was coming to my heart, I always knew and I refused. That's why I was able to persist in that prayer. I said that God, what? Hears me. God hears me. My brother, God hears you. Then let's look at some verses of the Bible to prove that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. What happened with this one? Oh, you guys know, 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Now, the question always has been, where we are stuck, is this according to his will? Do you think that is the will of God that the child that he has given you, for him to become wayward?
Do you think that the life that God has given you, that it is his will that that life become destroyed? I said here the other day, you know, people have the tendency to say that God hates this. Yes, God hates sin. He really does. A lot of things that God hates. But what we have to understand that if you come and see a serpent, a very dangerous serpent wrapped around your child and wants to kill that child, are you going to say that, well, are you not, what are you going to do to that serpent? You're going to try to kill it, right? Now, if killing it means you're going to bruise your baby's arm, are you going to say, no, let me not bruise my baby's arm? Your goal is to do what? Kill that. Because you know that the goal of that serpent is to steal, to kill, and to what? If you leave it there, it will kill. So God hates serpents in our life. So he attacks it vehemently. But it's not us that he's attacking. He wants to lose those things off of us so that we can have life. So when you hear he hates this, yes, he hates it, but he does not hate you. He hates those things because of what those things are what doing to you. So because he loves you so much, he will do anything in his power to do what? To kill that thing. It's not you that he's after to kill. It's not you. It's not me. It's not us. It's that thing. And he hates that thing. And he hates it. He hates it with a passion. So it is God's will that you have a good life. It is God's will that you will have joy. Praise the Lord. So that somebody has their husband and they're fighting up and down. That's not God's will. God said that the gifts that he gives, that they're what? They are good and they're what? Perfect. How can something perfect now be causing sorrow? Something else has attached himself to it. God hates that thing. So but when we see those things that attach, that's why we go to God. That's why when that evil begins to speak, like that letter came, condemning that serpent with us together. Because you know that's what that letter was doing. There was evil working in this child's life, but the evil and the child now was what? Bundled into one. But God doesn't hate that child. That description was the description of evil. It was not a description of that child. No matter what that child was doing, that was not that child. That was the evil in the life of that child. So to bundle that child with that evil and now it want to toss him out, that's not a place of love. What love does, he wants to kill the serpent and take the child. Because the child is what? The love of his life. So he is totally committed to us, to see us come out from any affliction his enemy has afflicted on his child, which is us. All those the enemies of God, you know. Evil is the enemy of God. The devil is the enemy of God. That's why he had to come and fight him. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 49. So these are some of the things. He says that, know with confidence that God hears your prayers. That's what we're looking at as you pray. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not what? I will not forget you. Even when we become victims of our own mistake or deliberate actions, God says he will forgive and heal us. Say, if you turn around, I'll fix it. So don't let evil just pick you and say, well, but you cursed it on yourself. Well, you cursed it on yourself. Well, you cursed it on yourself, fine, but you have come to your father. Praise the Lord. Love does not continue to say you cursed it on yourself. Love takes away evil and do what? And nurse us back to life. So when we go to prayer, if he keeps saying you curse it on yourself, understand it is not coming from a place of love and it's not coming from a place of help. You must ignore it like Hezekiah ignored Sennacherib and do what? And go to the house of the Lord. And come to God and say, Father, clean this. Help me. Help me. Look at him. Because he says, I'm willing. He says, I have compassion. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. He said, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh, what? Each morning. So the first thing you must understand in the place of prayer, and with this woman, he says that, understand that God hears you. He loves you. He cares for you. He hates that evil. And what he's doing, he wants to destroy that evil, not you. So don't listen to that evil. It's that evil he's after. So you can have life and have it what? He said, that's why I came. That's why I came. Trust that the prayer makes a difference. Even when you are not seeing the difference. You remember that says that we walk by what? Believing, not by what? Seeing. In this example of this woman, do you know he begins to treat, no matter what that child is doing, he begins to treat that child too with love. Because if you hear from evil, you will give evil. If all those things that they cataloged about their daughter, that's how he began to see their daughter, she will be treating her daughter with less love. When she see her, if he was drinking and smoking and with guys like he was doing, even his head, he might begin to call her a whore. I'm telling you. When you allow those things to inject you, they cause you to now begin to see, and that's not what you want. You want your daughter back. But now, evil and hate, who wants to speak, will cause you now to begin to agree with him, and now begin to speak in line with him, and begin to act in line with him. So if the child comes in and is hungry, you say, go for wherever you came from, go and eat over there. Your words. We must understand that even when you don't see the difference that God is working, you can receive God's peace right away. One of the key things, he says that the peace I leave to you, God, the world does not what? The world cannot give it to you. Look at the book of Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7. If you know that God helps you, God hears you, and if we know that he's working for us, and we know that he's with us, and we know that he's the most powerful person in this whole world, the earth and the fullness thereof, they belong to him, then we can have peace that the greatest one is with us. If we have that confidence, what comes to us is peace. Last year, towards the end of last year, I was finishing a construction, and it was very hard. Financially, it was very hard on me and my family, because we have just poured everything we have. The banks were so nervous about giving any loan because the housing market was going down. So, but the Lord has said, go and do it, I'll help you. So I stepped out, and the day I stepped out to start the construction that cost us close to, let me say it was over $1 million, all we have was $3,000. That's all we had in that account. And I got up, finished praying, and I said, the Lord said he will help us. And my wife said, yes, he will help us. But it was hard as we were going. It was hard. And when it came to the middle, that end of December, tension. So I got down on my knee at that side, and I prayed to the Lord. I blessed the name of that, blessed the name of the Lord. And I said, Lord, give me a way out. Give us a way out on this. Make something for us happen. And when I finished, the Lord reminded me again. He said, but I told you that I will help you. I said, yes. He said, so why are you worried? Incredible peace came on me. I came home that day. Nothing has changed from morning, but I had tremendous peace in the house and everything. And in the past 3 weeks, conditions that were set all over the place for somebody to close in the house by the government, somehow they waved this, and in the middle of it, somebody closed and we got money and continued that construction. But there was a peace that came immediately because the confidence, God just told me, but I'll help you. There is a peace from trusting the word of God. There's a peace, that place of prayer, that when you hear that word, even if you have not seen that answer, when God says that, what you get is peace. And let me tell you, the problem we have with anything is that we are not at peace. How you know somebody who's going through trouble or something, that if they come around you, they might be completely agitated without me telling you anything. That's how you know that they have problems. But if they come and they're peaceful as the person that does not have any issue, then there's nothing that you that don't have issue have over them. Because all the person that doesn't have issues is enjoying his peace. And they too are doing what? They're also enjoying peace. So we must understand that the peace of God is available. He says, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Verse 7. Then you will what? You will experience God's peace. Which what? Which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind and your life in what? In Christ. And peace will return. So that woman said that when he began to pray, he understood. Then when he prayed and looked at words like this that says, that thank him, he said that peace came to him. He said, my daughter will make it. 1 year passed, but you see the final testimony. It was incredible what happened to the life of this young girl. So it's the peace of God that will guard our hearts and mind. When we pray, we can trust God that God is doing his part, and that certainly that what he said, that he will do it. We should trust what God is saying in the middle of all of it. That's our peace. So whenever the accuser wants to drag us back, we should go back to what God has said. See, that is why Bible study, studying the word, listening to the word, becomes an anchor for any Christian. Number three, we must tell fear that he has no place in our conversations. These prayers are our gateway to feel assurance of things that we don't see yet. But fear will come to keep focusing us on what has not worked. Praise the Lord. So we must make a determined purpose. We must not be words, we're determined that as we're praying this prayer, we know that God hears us, we know that God cares for us, that he loves us, that he's with us, that he wants to kill that evil, and that he will succeed to kill that evil because he's the most powerful than what? That anything else. That all the evil have is deceit and wiles. The Bible says he has wiles and what? But that his wiles and deceit, he will catch up with it and he will destroy him and will come out of it. And we don't listen to his own wiles and his deceit, knowing that we are standing with love and love will take us through. So when we know all of that, we cast fear. Do you know the Bible speaks in the book of James that what does perfect love do? He says cast out fear. That's what love does. That is why you are in a home, your children can just walk into your inner bedroom. But you're going to take a maid or a helper in the house, no matter how much you treat him equal with your children, whenever he comes to the door of your main bedroom, he or she is always nervous to go in there. Or you send your children to go inside for him. There's a love of a parent. So somehow he thinks that no matter what they're telling me, the devil is telling me, but they are not your parents. But they are not your parents. And there's a place that if it's not your parents, you can't go. So if we never think of God that way, there's a place we will not what? Will not go. And if we can't go there and they stop us from going inside the room to take what is ours, then they can have a field day with us at the door of the entrance. So, Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. And I'm done, and I'll read the result of all of this for her. Don't be afraid, for I am what? I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for what? I am your God. I am for you. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So don't let fear. Even if I don't have, don't let fear. God is with you. God is what? He's with you. God is with you. God is with you. Don't be afraid. That's his own word. You didn't put these words in his mouth. I don't care if it's a child that's having issues. You think he's not listening. Be persistent in prayer. Don't be asking for character motivation. Don't try to cover. No. Go be persistent. Praise the Lord. Touch this child. Don't listen to any evil report. Don't let your eye be looking for the things that they are doing wrong. Let your eyes be looking to what God has said. If it's a sickness in your body, don't be looking if this pain shows up this morning. Let your eye be looking what God has said. And let your prayer be focused and thanking God and praying about that issue. Because God wants to help you. He wants to take that. He wants to unwrap that evil from there so that you can be free. That's what he wants to do. Anything else that is speaking contrary is not God. Now look at what happened for her. It's been a year and a half since I got that heart letter that prompted more frequent prayers for my daughter. That bullet that turned into a blessing.
Praise the Lord. That bullet that turned into what? You listen, let me tell you sometimes. There are issues that come in our life. The devil really wanted to kill us with that issue. But if we understand the power of God, that thing that he brought to destroy us will be where our blessing will come from. Because that is what will take us to God. That we have been staying away from, that we couldn't ask for anything from before. Finally, and he's the one that giveth all good things, and we never had gone to take the good things. But the enemy with his foolishness has come to kill some more. But that action is what has brought us to our gold. Praise the Lord. So it happened. It happened even with Joseph. Genesis chapter 50. He says that after his brothers has tried to sold him, do all these things, think he was dead, say you're a big dreamer, you're that, he's not, you think you're going to be all of that, accuse, evil. The Bible says that they sold him, and when they finally found out that he became the Pharaoh of the place, he says when their father died, because the enemy, when you stand with God and you defeat him, he will finally start quaking. He said they came to him and started saying, oh, our father said when he was alive that you should not hurt us. You know, they started manipulating. You see, the thing with the devil is that he never repents. If you're waiting for him to change his mind, he can't. But you always have to be walking high above him. They came and they said, please don't kill us because our father said you shouldn't kill us. He started weeping. Look at what he responded. He said, you intended to do what? To harm me. This is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for what? For good. He brought me to this position so I could save what? The lives of men. Listen, anything in your life, I don't care how it's spawned, what God wants to do in your life is good. I don't care. Is it your children? Is it your finance? Wherever way they pull it to, if you stand with God and intentionally understand, and no matter how they are pushing you, you just hold on him and hold on him. God will turn it to what? To good. Because the only thing that God does what? Is good. The Bible says that he does not do evil. So it doesn't matter what the intentions of evil was. If you stand with the Lord in your prayer and everything, what will come out is what? He says that this is what has come out good. So anyway, so he says, so that bullet, It prompted my frequent prayers for my daughter. That bullet that turned into a blessing. I recently visited her at college and could hardly believe my eyes. She's a completely different girl. At one point during our time together, I asked her, what finally made following Jesus wholeheartedly click for you? She said, Mom, I have made friends who love Jesus. I saw a joy in them that I wanted. So I started doing what they do, even when I didn't want to do it. Even what? When I did, this is what they were telling him. Why can't you be good girl? Why can't you be? But God in prayer now has gone. I'm beginning to touch the heart. Now, I tell you, I say, somebody has not taken anything because the person has not seen value in it. You're beating somebody over something, wasting your time. The day the person sees value in it, you can't hold them back from it. He says, I began to make friends. I started doing what they do, even when I didn't want to do it. At first, I thought getting up to do devotions was unrealistic. Prayer meetings were boring, and listening to praise music, excessive. But as I kept doing these things, the Lord started changing my thoughts, patterns. And when I started thinking about life from the standpoint of the truth, I had so much more joy. This is a case testimony to the mother now. She then paused and said words I have longed to hear and prayed to hear for so long. Mom, I have just completely fallen in love with Jesus. The power of prayer. Power of trusting God. The power of consistent. There's nothing that is too hard for him. The power of knowing when a word is coming from love and when it is coming from a place of deceit, from a place of hate, from a place of destruction. Even if they are facts,
And it's not going to bring good. It's not from God. That's why when you, even in sickness, when you present facts that are contrary to what God says, God rejects it. God says, yeah, he's healed. You say, yeah, but this is what's on the ground. God says, no, but those things are on the ground. They are evil. I don't do evil, so I will continue to walk against what? Evil. So I want us to just stand up and pray. I don't know what is it for you. Is it your children? Is it your own life? Is it issue you are facing with? God hears you. Any voice that has been speaking that is not love, you must reject that voice and come to your Father. And tell him your needs. Tell him this is a problem, Lord, take it away. And be fervent. Praise the Lord. And be what? Don't back up. If the good has not come out, God cannot stop working because all he does is good. God's conclusion cannot be evil. The end for God cannot be, something cannot end evil and that God is in it. No. So no matter what it is, don't give up. So the mother said, a year and a half. And what he did with that letter, he squashed it and he threw it away. So any accusation that's not of God, my sister, my brother, squeeze it and do what? Throw it away. Any word that has been spoken against you, any word that's spoken against your child, your family, anything that the enemy has been showing you that is evil, he meant it for evil. I want you to lift it. Let it now be a thing that propels you to come to him. Let it now be the thing that keeps you in the presence of gold so that you can receive.